Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello, welcome to Everything Iconic. I'm Danny Pellegrino. I have a very special guest, a very special show ahead. My guest today is Kathy Najimy. She's an actor, director, writer, producer, activist. You might recognize her from acting in roles like Sister Mary Patrick in the Sister Act movies. She's also a Sanderson sister in Hocus Pocus. I mean, she's one of the witches in Hocus Pocus. Right alongside Bette Midler and Sarah Jessica Parker, she's also been in Veep, Rat Race. She's the voice of Peggy Hill on King of the Hill. She, of course, co-wrote the Kathy and Mo show with Mo Gaffney. She's truly brilliant, and I can't wait for you guys to hear my chat with her because I've had a lot of wonderful people on the show. Truly some fantastic guests, but I came out of this interview and I felt like this was one of my favorite chats that I've ever done. I just loved talking to Kathy. She was so warm, so kind, so brilliant, and I hope you guys enjoy listening as much as I enjoyed talking to her. It felt like a therapy session. Like, truly, when I hung up the phone, I was like, oh my God, I felt like I just had a wonderful therapy session. Truly so fantastic to talk to. So before I play that chat, I want to say, please find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to Everything Iconic on iTunes, Spotify, or Acast, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. I'll put all the links in the episode description. And with that said, I want you guys to enjoy my chat with Queen Icon legend, Kathy Najimy. Thank you. I will leave you guys all with this chat. Thank you so much for listening, and please enjoy.
Oh, a jukebox. Oh, one song, one song.
No,
do you have
no,
a word
no,
song,
no,
please?
No.
Come on, he does. All right. It'll come back to you tenfold. Thanks.
Hurry up.
Oh, I love this song. Give me, give it tonight. One dance. I'll be right back, please.
Danny.
Hi, Kathy and Jimmy. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm okay, too. First of all, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me for the show. I am such a ginormous fan of you. I have been my whole life, and I'm just so, so grateful for you to taking the time.
Well, it's my pleasure. We all get a lot of these kinds of requests these days. But my friend said, oh, you're going to love him. He's great. And I went up and looked up your show, and it's fantastic. I'm honored to be on.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much. Well, first of all, where are you right now, and how are you doing throughout all of this craziness?
I am sitting at my desk looking out at a rainy street on 57th Street in Manhattan. It's pretty dead. One car just went by, which is exciting. That's a parade for us these days. And we're doing okay. I'm here with my husband, Dan Finnerty, and my daughter, Samia Najimy Finnerty. And I would say, 20 out of the 24 hours a day we're okay. And then, right. You know, we have a lot of sadness about what's happening in the world. And so, like most other people, helping, giving, donating, starting up projects makes it a little more bearable.
And you've always been, I was doing a lot of my research last night, and you've always been such a wonderful activist for women's rights, LGBTQ rights, AIDS awareness. I was so impressed by your charity efforts. Were you always someone who was like that? Or was that a part of you that kind of came later? Or does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. I was an activist, born an activist before I was an actor. In fact, I never really had designs to actually, I would do a lot of like most actors, like skits in the neighborhood and forcing everybody to do like a Bette Midler review in the seventh grade and, and putting on plays for money. But it wasn't like when I closed my eyes, I didn't think I'm going to be Lana Turner. You know, I knew I would be something that had to, in my head, once I read an article, I don't know what it was in, and it talked about La Mama. And in my head, I thought, oh, go to New York and run La Mama, which is a small theater, you know, theater in New York. But, you know, the acting happened, which was fortunate, and most of it a lot of fun. But no, I was an activist. Well, I was a creative person and an activist at the same time. Ms. Magazine was a huge part of my life because, you know, we grew up in Southeast San Diego, and there was no internet, so you didn't know there were like-minded people out there like you, so you had no tribe. So there wasn't really a force politically, but once Ms. Magazine came from my brother's grocery store, The Food Basket.
Everything opened up.
Everything opened up, and I learned about Gloria Steinem and feminism and the African-American women in the middle of the country who started feminism, and it was like having your crazy alone thoughts reflected back to you in such a really exciting way.
What advice do you have for people kind of living through this time right now and trying to remain positive? I don't know if you feel this way, but I've struggled to figure out how I can help or what I can do to both help the people who need it and also help people's take their minds off things. And I think it can be very discouraging every time you turn on the news. It's so dark.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you do this podcast, which is mostly a lot of fun, and that is people's light, you know, like going movies and TV and podcasts and radio shows. And, you know, the public theater is putting up their plays for free to watch, and many theaters are. And I mean, there's just such an outpouring from the creative community as well as, you know, all the communities, but as far as content. So that is really heartwarming. But, you know, what do you do really? I feel like, here's what I really feel. I feel like I grew up in a six-person family in Southeast working class San Diego. We were on welfare some of the time. And, but, you know, since I was able to be a keynote speaker and an actor and a director, we're okay. We have food, and our dog is right here, and we are two blocks away from Central Park, so we can put on our masks and go. So, you know, how are we scared, empathetic, pissed off? You know, I think, you know, we all agree. Well, no, we all agree, but some of us agree that if we had a leader that was a little more forthcoming and not adult, then we could have been a little more prepared and informed. But, you know, I see, you know, I made pasta the other day and put it in Tupperwares and took it out to the people on the corners, and we have nothing to be sad about.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. Yeah.
No, I mean, sad in a way for the world, but like we're doing fine. And, it's all about just, it's, you know, isn't it, is it weird to you that we don't know when it's going to end? So, like,
oh my God, the mixed messaging, the confusion, that's what hits me. I'm someone who suffers from anxiety anyway. And so just the not knowing, like you said, and not having sort of an end date of when we can get back to business as usual. It's very tough. And I actually worry about people more mentally, actually. I know everyone's focusing on the physical, and we're all concerned about getting this COVID-19 and all of that, which is something to worry about. But I also worry about people who are cooped up and alone. I'm lucky I have my boyfriend here and we have each other. But I think for people who suffer from anxiety and depression, this is catastrophic. And that's, I worry.
Yeah, the loneliness is palpable. How long have you been with your boyfriend?
10 years.
That's 30 in straight years. Congratulations.
I know. There was a moment, though, that I like really broke down this weekend. I was watching an interview you did with Deborah Messing on the Build series. And this woman in the audience raised her hand and she thanked you for representation on screen. And you immediately gave her a hug. And I just like broke down. I thought, like, when are we going to hug people again? Like, that's what I keep thinking is, when am I going to get to hug my family's all in Ohio? When am I going to get to hug them? It just, I don't know, that moment and that realization as I was prepping for this interview was when it really kind of hit me.
I mean, they have different projections. Thank God for Cuomo. The Cuomos, man, they are killing it. Did you see the announcement this morning that he made?
No, I didn't. I didn't see it. What did he say?
God, he's just so damn smart. He just is saying, you know, like answering some of the questions that you have about what they're predicting the due date is. He feels, you know, like a lot of people are saying that we have peaked and we're on the way down. And, you know, here's the good news. This is a great equalizer. I think our country might have filled in some of the cracks. I mean, there's going to be a lot of loss, a lot of sadness, a lot of loneliness, and hunger and unemployment. Mm-hmm. And that's, of course, what we're all working on every day from our computers. But I think there's also going to be a shift in, you know, all man and womankind, like one for all and all for one, not so many different levels, not mm-hmm. so separate, not so much them and us. That's what I'm hoping.
I hope so, too.
Yeah, I really am. I mean, it just seems like there's no other way out.
Right, right. Well, switching gears a little bit, one of the things that helps me throughout this time is watching those comfort food movies. Just this weekend, I watched Rat Race, which I love. I think Rat Race is like very underrated. I think it's just so silly and so ridiculous and funny, and you're hysterical in it.
Thank you.
But you've been in everything. You've been in so many of those comfort food movies. Do you have?
I love that you call them comfort food.
They are,
movies.
Kathy. They're like a warm hug.
They're like a warm biscuit.
The amount of times that I've watched the Sister Act films throughout my life, like when I've been my most down, like those mm-hmm. movies, they help lift you out of the darkness. Mm-hmm. I think they're so important, so incredibly important. Do you have a favorite of all the projects you've done? Is that like picking a favorite child or something?
That's a really good question. You know, I did something called the Kathy and Mo Show for on and off for 20 years that I wrote with my friend Mo Gaffney, which was a two-woman feminist comedy.
Brilliant.
And that's the thing that I'm most proud of is that, because we wrote it and did it forever and did two HBO specials. And it really deals with things that I care about, which is what you started off saying about the gay and lesbian community and the LGBTQ community and women and, you know, humanity and compassion and equality, blah, blah, blah. So that's the thing that I am most proud of. I really had a lot of fun on the Sister Act movies. The Sister Act 2 was so much fun because we had all those kids mm-hmm. and they were crazy fun. And I was like the weird aunt. I lived in New York at the time, but I was staying in LA filming. So I had an apartment with a pool and they would all come over and swim. And we would take crazy pictures to send to their parents, you know, of us, like 20 of us all in a bed with our faces peeking out. And like, they were so much fun. I loved working with them. And of course, the great Lauryn Hill, who was not known then.
I mean, that cast was so stacked with those kids.
Oh, unbelievable. I remember I was having lunch with Lauren. She's so smart. And we would have lunch and talk about, I don't know how old she was, maybe 17 or 18. And we would have talks about God and theology and the future of the world. And she was so smart. And I remember she was sketching one day and I said, we were eating lunch. I said, what are you sketching? She goes, oh, it's maybe an album cover for a band that I'm putting together. And I said, oh, and I sort of thought in my head, like patted her on the back, like, oh, good for you. Yes, your album. And then, of course.
That was that the Miss Education album?
That was the first album with her group. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I know it.
Well, that movie, I have the most vivid memory of my brothers and I. We rented that movie from the video store and mm-hmm. we watched that end scene, the come and join the car. It's like the musical end scene. Mm-hmm. We kept rewinding it over and over again. We were trying to memorize it and we were literally obsessed with it. And there was a large portion of my childhood, and I've been fortunate to have a lot of the people that I was obsessed with, as I've always been a pop culture junkie. And I remember being obsessed with you, with Whoopi Goldberg, with Bonnie Hunt, with some of these comedians and people who I would watch. I remember watching that movie and thinking, like, Kathy's got the good lines in that. Of course, there's funny parts for everyone, but I was like, she, and even Hocus Pocus too. It's like, oh, that's the funny role. That's the role I would want. And Bonnie Hunt, she, of course, always played like the friend. And mm-hmm. I always thought like she had the fun lines.
Isn't she great? Oh my God, she's
best.
So good.
The best.
Oh, she's so great.
But so are you. And those Sister Act movies are so fun. Did you get to improvise on those at all?
Yeah. You know, it's hard to cast a a Whoopi Goldberg or a Kathy and Jimmy without thinking that they're going to improv a little. So yeah, I've been pretty lucky. I've not been a part of a project. I've been in some drama series and dramatic movies where, of course, you don't want to mess with it too much. Mm-hmm. But the comedy stuff, I've been lucky enough for the director to say, all right, let's just let Kathy have a, just say what you want now, you know, or whatever. And sometimes they'll keep it and sometimes not. But I don't remember really anyone saying, like, you know, unless it was a Shakespeare thing, like, stick to the text. You know, and in all cases, we had great scripts, but, you know, yeah, they let us improv.
There was a few moments, I think, in the first one when you're dancing, I always think, like, oh, that must have been so fun to come up with that.
Out on the street.
Mm-hmm. It's, yeah, like, part of a montage or something, but you're, yeah, and they, like, leave you.
That was my dance that I used to do to make people laugh. And a little bit of trivia. If you look closely, there's in the movie, there's a dog. In one scene, Whoopi is working in the courtyard and there's a dog and she looks over at the dog and goes and sits down and pats the dog. And that's my dog. That's my soulmate dog, Alfinny. Then in the dancing scene, you look and see, and I run out with them. I realize they've walked away and I'm dancing, and you'll see a little dog follow me, and that's Alfinny too. Aww. So that's one of my favorites. I know, and I love that.
I love that. Did you know that I had read this bit of trivia that Bette Midler was originally attached to star in the Whoopi Goldberg role in the Sister Act movies. Were you aware of that when you signed on? Because I know you looked up to her and really loved her. Kathy, I lost you.
You know what?
Oh, sorry, I lost you for a second.
I muted you with my face fat. Oh. No kidding. Literally, my face fat just muted you.
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I had heard, because I knew everything about Bette Midler. I was like number one fan, knew everything. So I knew that she had been offered it. But I was so thrilled it was Whoopi because, you know, I knew Whoopi, oh gosh, since for years and years before that. She moved from New York to San Diego, where I was living, and became part of the theater scene. And we met. We were friends. I used to take her daughter Alexandra, who now I think Alex is a grandmother. Mm-hmm. But I used to take Alex to nursery school, and I used to see Whoopi at this like artist gathering called the Big Kitchen. And then Whoopi and I got cast in a 4-person traveling political theater group, because remember it was the 70s. Mm-hmm. And I remember we got paid $500 a month. We were so beyond, we couldn't even believe our good fortune. Like, we were the highest paid actors we'd ever known. Sure. $500 a month. It was so great. And so we got to create and tour these short plays about working conditions and the environment and things like that. So I knew her. Plus, I had done, you know, I've done a lot of films with Whoopi, and people have said, like, oh, are you in her contract? And I say, no, honestly, I walked onto Soap Dish. And I was,
right.
Yeah. And I said, you're in this? She goes, yeah, you're in this. I was like, oh my God, great. I walked onto Sister Act. She said, you're in this? I said, you're in this. So, and then again with Rat Race, Sister Act 2 and like, you know, so many things. So no, it was always a great surprise because I knew her and loved her.
And I'm obsessed with The View. I watch it every night on Hulu, and you guys did like a Sister Act reunion last year.
That was so fun.
And it was so joyous to watch. I encourage everyone to look it up on YouTube if they didn't see it, because it is just so much fun. And where the fuck is part 3, Kathy and Jimmy? Like, why haven't we gotten a part 3?
You know, it's interesting that you should say that. I'm not a really big person for sequels, because mm-hmm. I feel like, oh, like, wow, what could possibly be, what can they do now? But the second one, you know, obviously was successful and a lot of fun, but Whoopi is actually championing a third. So she's been really trying hard. I think she even wrote a script, and I saw her at the big gay day at the Barclays Center a couple months ago. And you know, she really is for it. So I don't know. I think if, you know, Whoopi gets what Whoopi wants.
I mean, I think it'd be perfect for Disney Plus, and it just is like the feel good musical thing we need right now, I think. That's my opinion. You mentioned Bette. What did you like about her growing up? Like, what was it about her that really attracted you to like her so much?
First of all, I had never seen someone who was so dedicated to creating her own rules. Mm-hmm. Like, she wasn't like the lady. She was very sexy, very funny, very beautiful, but on her own terms. She wasn't like sort of the ladylike women we had seen on TV that were supposed to dress a certain way and act a certain way with just a little bit of boob peeking out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, she was hilarious and a great dramatic actress, as you know, as well. Mm-hmm. And I loved her boldness. I loved that she created the persona and the life that she wanted. It was totally original. And that spoke to me as a little plump Lebanese girl in San Diego, you know? So I had a couple of guiding lights. Lily Tomlin was huge in my life.
The best.
And she's the one who really inspired the Kathy and Mo show, because we thought, oh my gosh, you can write and act about things you believe in that are political mm-hmm. and still be funny. So she was huge. And then, of course, Bette for those reasons. And then Gloria Steinem for you know, being the flagship feminist and our beacon and leading us.
And, right. And you're close with Gloria, right?
I am very close with her. I talk to her about every 2 days, and when we were able to see each other, you know, a lot, but she is just one of the best humans alive.
I sound like a crazy fan, but another clip that I saw on YouTube as I was researching was you were being interviewed by Katie Couric, and it was back when Hocus Pocus was coming out, so I guess 93 or something, and you had mentioned Gloria and in that interview and meeting her. And,
Yeah, I have known Gloria for a while, but that interview is hilarious for a lot of reasons, and I'll tell you why. Please. I didn't know Katie then, and I know her now. She lives in New York, and literally one of the smartest people alive. Yeah. She is one of the smartest, most productive. Do you follow her, like, on social media?
I literally just signed up for her newsletter, which I'm obsessed with. It's like an email newsletter, wake-up call.
Yeah, the wake-up call.
And I love it. It's like a great way to get your news in like little bite-sized pieces. Yeah.
Every morning. And she like grows her own tomatoes, and she makes her own apple pie, and she like will sew the freaking tablecloth that you're eating on, and she's like a really like them, and really fun, like a very fun person. But anyway, so I didn't know her then, and they said, you know, will you do the show? And it was, I'm not a morning person, so you can tell I'm really tired because I had to wake up at something like 6 a.m. and I said you know, she said, did you have any problems with the script? And I said, yeah, I just wanted them to add that, you know, the original witches were women who were healthcare workers and healers. And sometimes they'd go in and deliver a baby, and sometimes the baby would die. And that's where the whole thing of the witches, the baby killing witches came from. And, you know, when I said, also sometimes they would perform, you know, much needed abortions if it was medical or whatever. And Katie looked at me like, it's 7 a.m.
It's so fun. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I thought it was like an awkward interview. And
sometimes I go too far, but then we've become friends since then. And sometimes we talk about it, but like, I don't know. I feel like if you've got an opportunity and a
but
bunch
you can't
of people
help
are listening
yourself,
to you,
and that's great.
Yeah, if you're on a talk show, like, look at my talk shows. It's all like, I was at the Gay March on Washington yesterday. And you know what? I don't give
good
a shit.
Good for you. Yeah, who cares?
In one life, I just do what I believe in.
Talk
and, like,
about
people
what you
can,
want to talk about.
They could turn it down if they don't like it.
Right. They could change the channel. They could turn it off. I know.
Yeah.
But I also love that you were sticking up for witches on that interview. You were like saying, I believe you said you had asked Disney or something in Hocus Pocus to maybe change a line or two mm-hmm. because you mm-hmm. were sticking up for witches. And I think all minority groups, all of the others, they need people like you who are in a position of power to go to the script person and say, hey, can we change this? This is, you know, I watch things now, like from the 90s or the 80s or whatever, and I look at, I'm gay, and I look at gay stuff, mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh my God, who wrote that? Like, why did anyone mm-hmm. allow that?
Right. Yeah. No, I look at it. Here's the benefit. The benefit is that you only have one life, and whatever your authentic being is, whatever you are pulled to do, you have to speak up. And I speak up. The reverse side is a lot of people don't choose to work with someone like that. And people say, aren't you afraid if you say that you won't get cast? And I say, it's totally my right to say it, but I respect their right not to cast me. Mm-hmm. I don't ever feel like someone should believe the way I believe or to work with me if they know that I'm going to do talk shows and talk about things I believe. And that's their complete right. So I have no issue with that at all. And I know that some people believe that if you are a public figure, you don't have the right to have a political opinion. And if that works for people, and I'm not being facetious, if it does work, that's fantastic. It just is, it doesn't work for me.
Yeah, it's your prerogative.
It's my prerogative.
That movie, though, Hocus Pocus, I mean, did you expect it now to be like such a thing? Because it wasn't super successful before, but now it's a whole phenomenon. They even in the parks now have Sanderson Sisters. Around Halloween time, they do the Put a Spell on You. And which, by the way, why isn't I Put a Spell on You on streaming services?
What do you mean? Like the video of it?
The song. You can't listen to the song on Spotify or iTunes. It's like not available.
Not available our version, but it's available other people. Like,
right,
I just
like the original.
Nina, I listened to Nina Simone's version the other day. It was so fantastic. I don't know. That's a really good question for someone who is smarter than me. Yeah, I don't know.
Did you record vocals for that, or was it just Bette who did vocals?
No, that
you
was
guys
all
did
of
it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so did you expect it to be this huge thing?
Oh, so yeah, no, you were right. It came last in its weekend. It was the last place. And, you know, we were lucky enough to be making a lot of films at that time. So you make a film and then it comes out a whole year later. Mm-hmm. And so you never know whether it's going to go straight to video or be a huge success, but you sort of pass it. You're done with it. And then it comes out. So it came out and it was, I think, last in the weekend, you know, in the ratings, but it wasn't terribly sad or, I mean, you know, it's a little bit of a bummer, but we were all onto other things. And so that was that. And then it came on TV and then those grandparents showed it to their kids who then showed it to their kids who then showed it to their kids. So it has really, gathered this delightful cult audience through the years. And I know actually, because I've been talking to Sarah and Bette lately, none of us imagined that this would happen with this film.
Right. A couple of years ago, my friend Aaron actually wrote a book called Hocus Pocus in Focus. And it's all about, and it was sort of at the beginning of now Disney, I feel like, is handling it, the property a little bit better. I always felt for so many years, because my generation was the one that like worshiped this movie. And I always felt like, where's the merch and where's like the respect for it? And then now I feel like it's different. Did you ever along the way feel like Disney was mishandling the property? I don't know if that makes any sense.
You know, they might have or maybe not, but I never really focused on it or thought of it. I just made the movie and then moved on.
Right.
But there certainly is a lot of merchandise now with our faces on it that we don't get any money for. But they're selling great
for that. Oh my god! Party City does like a whole thing now. I think it's Party City.
Everybody does, and there's dolls and T-shirts and the fans. I have to say, and I'm sure you can imagine this. Fans are very. Oh, they're so exciting and lovely and positive and delightful. And I've seen I've been sent so many art projects and jewelry and, you know, T-shirts and stick figures. And they really have embraced it a lot, this movie. And again, who'd have thunk?
I know, who'd have thunk it? You mentioned you're talking to Bette and Sarah Jessica Parker. And there was just in Variety last month, it said Adam Shankman is directing a Hocus Pocus 2. And it said they hope you guys are involved. Are you guys involved? You have to be. You have to be.
I don't know. We'll see.
We need you. Kathy, I will start a petition or I will start a GoFundMe or something to get you guys on screen. We need it.
GoFundMe.
I don't know what we need. What do I start to get you on a sequel?
Everybody donate $5 to pay Bette
whatever
Midler.
It takes to get Bette Midler on screen. I will not accept that. The whole movie is about the witches. That's what we need. We will not see a part two if there's no Kathy and Jimmy, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Bette Midler. Queens, icons, and legends.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
But so you're doing it, right?
No, I don't. I can't say that at all. I'm not doing it, you know, until I have a contract and there's a thing. And, you know, we all have so many other projects that we're a part of. You know, I've morphed more into producing and directing. I have a documentary that I'm making called Blue Woman Red Town about the 53% of married white women who voted for Donald Trump. And I'm going into red states and meeting these women because I'm 63 and the country has never been in my lifetime more divided as it is now. It's been divided, but this is the most. And so I feel like it's important that we know each other because they won. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing that, and I directed and wrote my very first film, which was so much fun. Oh, God, I can't even tell you.
Wait, so it's done?
It's a short film. It's just 13 minutes, and it's 3 days out of my childhood, and we went back to my actual house in San Diego and filmed it.
Was that therapeutic?
So therapeutic, and so much, I can't even tell you how much fun it was. Yeah. Because I worked with kids, because it was about me at 10. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it's not a comedy, it's a little bit of a social drama, but, and you know, we all have different things that we're attached to, or that we owe, you know, some filming to, or some pages to, so I honest to God don't have an answer for you, like, I've heard that there's talking and we've been talking and, you know, I don't know. We're old.
Stop it. No, stop it. We need it. There's no reason for it not to happen. I mean, they better throw all the money at you guys to get you on screen. Like, I don't care how much it takes. Like I said, we'll do the GoFundMe.
I love that so much.
I just think we need, that's what
lasagna for Hocus Pocus. People,
I make a good lasagna, Kathy and Jimmy. I make a Joy Behar recipe lasagna. I don't know if you know this, but she's the best, but she has this amazing lasagna recipe. I make it all the time and it's fantastic. So I'll make a few of those.
You know, the last time I saw Joy, other than the Sister Act reunion, which, by the way, was so much fun and so just so moving. And I love Mark Shaiman. I still get chills when I look at the clip of that because I hit a wrong note and I looked over at him like, I'm so sorry.
On the reunion?
On the reunion, yeah. One wrong note.
I don't remember that.
I know, but I did. But anyway, it was just so great, you know, getting back together with everybody and seeing everybody. But the time before that I saw Joy was the night of the last presidential election. They did a special
on Lifetime.
Live, right?
I watched it.
Oh, can you see in our, like I looked over.
Yeah.
So I was on because I was fortunate enough to be a surrogate speaker for Hillary to go to the places she couldn't go to. There were several of us and I loved it so much. I'm so honored to have done that. I just took my breath away. But so they had me on to sort of be like the Hillary person thinking, well, Hillary's going to win. And so we're on live and I'm about to go out and somebody said he just took, what was it, Pennsylvania? Mm. And so I walk out and I'm talking about Hillary, but I'm looking over at Joy and our eyes are connecting and my eyes are filled with tears and her eyes are filled with tears. It was just such a moment to have one of the worst moments of your life.
Some of the wildest TV I ever remember watching. And you can see everyone's face on that panel because I believe everyone on The View at the time was for Hillary. And you can see just the mood shift. It was so excited. I mean, and that's how the country was too. It was like everyone, at least in my circle, was very excited and optimistic. And then it shifted. And yeah, it was bizarre TV because I think producing that show for Lifetime, everyone thought it was going to go a different way. And you could, did Joy or Sarah get like super drunk as the night went on or something?
Well, there was, what's his name? The really handsome chef. Know him.
Curtis Stone was it him or someone?
No. Oh gosh, he's going to kill me. But anyway, he's Italian and adorable. But he was on making different cocktails. Yeah. So they were bringing us cocktails and food to eat, which, you know, softened the blow a little bit, but not enough. It was just such a dramatic loss of humanity. Just really a sad. My husband and daughter were at the Javits Center waiting to meet me there to hear Hillary's acceptance speech. And so I called him right away and said, go home. And
But you wish it had some Joy's lasagna that night.
I wish I had Joy's cocktail lasagna, and I don't ever take drugs, but I would have.
Right. I remember watching it, and I had just gotten like this new robe, which like this fuzzy robe, and I put it on, and I was like, I'm going to relax and treat myself. And then, yeah, the night went off unexpectedly.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's I'll make the lasagna for Hocus Pocus too, because we need that.
Would you? You know, there's so many places now too that I'm sure you already know this, that need food, where you can donate food, or at least you can order groceries to be sent to them. Mm-hmm. Like there's AmeriCares, and there's something here in New York called Dumplings for Doctors. You can go online and just put in Dumplings for Doctors, and you donate a little bit of dough, and it goes to all of the healthcare workers, which is, as you know, are the heroes of our time. Yeah. And of course, it's leaving my mind now, but so many great places that involve food. My husband has never cooked anything in his life but an egg. He's not a cook. I cook. But this morning he woke up and said, I'm going to bake bread, because I guess everybody in line.
That's so sweet of him.
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
I was like, great. Ship it over to the hospital too, because we don't need any. Yeah.
I've been doing like heavy baking, and I've been donating my baked goods, because like that's the only thing that calms me down at night. It's like, mm-hmm. my boyfriend's like, you need to quit baking. Like, all I'm doing is baking and then eating it. So I'm starting to give it out. We have some people in my apartment building that need food. So I've been handing out the baked goods.
Isn't that terribly satisfying? We live in a building with a lot of people, and I think a lot of elderly people actually. And so I put something on our building link, which is, I've never been on before, that, you know, where you can share items or say things, and just said, hey, you know, my husband goes to the store with a face mask and gloves once a week. If you need any, just email me the list of food and we'll leave it outside your door. And the response, not so much asking us to do it, but the response was so interesting, because it's the kind of building where you just get off the elevator and leave and don't really talk to people. We don't have a lot of friends in this building. Mm-hmm. And immediately it just started this whole sort of co-op feeling of togetherness, and nobody knows what color of skin everybody else has or who they voted for, or, mm-hmm. you know, it's just, it's really moving, actually. It's, you know, we are suffering and we are crying, but I feel like we are learning.
Right. Right. And people, I think, in a weird way, are forced to have empathy. I think people who maybe don't have empathy all the time are being faced with that a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And we're not asking each other who we voted for as we pass the casserole of lasagna.
Right. Right. Kathy, I just have a couple more questions for you. I don't want to keep you forever. I mean, I do want to keep you forever, but, you know, I won't. You're such a brilliant writer. Are you writing any comedy stuff? I mean, I know I loved Kathy and Mo, and so are you working on any comedy stuff?
You know, I should be. I'm such a reluctant writer, because I always think, what makes today be the day that I'm going to write something good? I'm so critical, not of other people's work, but my own. Right. So, like, that was a godsend for you to say that, because I really should just start writing. I get ideas about things to write. And I mean, I did, you know, I wrote the little movie, but I need to write more. I just should write daily and post it and not care.
Yeah, just get it out there. You're so funny. Like, of course I want to see the dramatic stuff too, but you're such a brilliant comedic writer. I think it's a voice that I would love to see.
Did my agent pay you to say that?
Kathy, I'm not kidding. This is like I'll probably get off the phone here and I'll cry, because I grew up just loving you and everything you were in. And the idea that I'm getting to talk to you right now is overwhelming to me.
You're very smart and you're adorable, and it's my pleasure. I'm happy to keep talking, whatever you need, whatever you want.
No, but I just remember looking at you and thinking like, oh my God, she's so fun. Even in Sister Act 2, when you pull out like the tape at the end to Jennifer Love Hewitt, which sounds like such a stupid moment, but I remember as like a kid being like, oh my God, she's so funny. Like when she whipped out the tape, or when you said the donut is sweet, or what was the line?
You don't have to taste the donut to know it's sweet.
Yeah. Was that improvised?
I think that was a lie. I think that was a written lie.
But so the idea that I'm getting to talk to you is crazy right now. But I wanted to ask, for all the people listening who are feeling down and who are feeling hopeless. Is there a quote or a piece of advice or something that you hold on to when you're having a tough time that you could maybe pass off to people?
Wow, that's really good. I wish I was that kind of person who had a bunch of quotes. I could call Gloria really fast. She has a new book out that's just quotes. I would think I don't want to be too fake cheery. Sure. So I would think that I would say, here's what I can share my journey. My journey is, you know, I grew up with a lot of, you know, difficult things to endure and to figure out. And I kept having to overcome hurdles. And there's something about age where you look back and say, I survived. I survived that. Now this, you know, COVID is different, and you don't get the choice of whether to survive a lot of times in family. So it really, really just sets me to tears is the thinking of that people can't be there with their loved ones if they're really sick or dying. Right. And that just dashes me down. But I feel like you can do everything you can do about it and then just give it to whatever you believe in. You know, do everything you can and then just say, have I done everything that I can? And am I really in charge of the whole world? No. Am I really even in charge of my own life? No. And so I try not to worry and think, you know, get up, do your best, add something to humanity. And worrying never served me growing up, and I didn't do it. And I'm trying not to do it now.
I'm jealous of that. I'm a worry person. I feel like I'm constantly in my head worrying.
Now, tell me what you're worried about.
You know, I just worry. I worry more about other people. I think you mentioned people not being able to be with their loved ones. And I saw this morning, I saw a picture of a funeral service, and people had to stay back from the body and wear these masks, and they couldn't even stand next to each other. Mm-hmm. And I was just I feel terrible that people can't even mourn their losses right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what gets me. What gets me is somebody dying alone in the hospital while their spouse is in the waiting room. Like that just, kills me.
The people who I know who are sitting in their apartments alone and they don't have the resources to handle the aloneness. And I'm fortunate I can call up my therapist or bug my boyfriend and bake some stuff in the kitchen. But I know that there's so many people that don't have that. And so that just makes me feel terrible.
It's very sad. But I think that it's your right and your journey to feel terrible. I think we need to just let ourselves feel terrible and then take a shower and then go do some action. Here's the thing. I love the part of me that is an activist, but I have to say it's like a therapy session. I love this so much. I have to say sometimes I cannot let myself feel the unbearable feeling if I do an action. So I will always do an action because obviously being an activist, by the way, is selfish. It makes you feel good about yourself. Right. Being a humanitarian, it's all self, but selfish isn't really bad. So you do what you do and hopefully you add to humanity and compassion and democracy and equality. But it does make you feel good that you do that. But sometimes I feel like I do instead of feel. You know, like instead of just crying about the lady who is waiting in the waiting room while her partner is dying in the bed, you know, 12 feet away, I will donate or tweet or, and I really think it's important maybe, and you've just inspired me to really just sit with it and go, this is freaking sad.
Right. I always feel better when somebody says that to me, whether it's a professional voice or just a friend, even when I'm going through something. Sometimes I just want someone to just say, yeah, this sucks right now.
It sucks.
This is shitty. This is a shitty time. And then that makes it validates my feelings. And so then I can move on and feel the next thing. But I think it's hard sometimes when that feeling's not validated. So.
Right. Yeah. To be able to sit with it. And then you also need to have lots of moments of joy. Like we were talking about the bread and the lasagna. And last night we had a Zoom 70s funk disco party. with about 15 people from LA and New York and all of our friends all over who just tuned into Zoom, which is now, isn't it funny that that's a word we actually say now?
Zoom is like a big thing now. I know. I just started Zooming.
I never even heard of it. So we put,
there was an Aretha Franklin album in the 80s called Who's Zoomin' Who? I don't know.
Oh, I love that
it's
song.
Neither here nor there, but yeah.
Right. So I put on the fringed top and fringed pants and a disco light we have in our apartment. And everyone, so those moments are really important to dance and dance and dance, you know, and it was so fun.
This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Sometimes. I was listening to Rosie O'Donnell was on Howard Stern, and she was talking about her Zoom parties with like Meg Ryan and all these celebrities. And I was like, oh my God, that sounds like my dream.
Yeah, I'm on those as
is
well.
That, oh my God. Wait, who's the craziest? Is everyone on there? Like all the best people are on there. Meg? Meg is on there.
Yeah, Meg.
I worship Meg Ryan. I worship her.
Yeah. She's really smart. Really good friends. Very smart.
Can you tell her to get back on screen? Like I miss her so much on screen.
I will. You know, she also made a movie and directed it and helped write it. And
Ithaca.
Wow. You know so many things. those Zoom nights are good. We also play games on those. We play games on Zoom too. I'm a crazy sycophant game player.
What's your favorite game?
Oh boy. Well, it depends. We have game night, and my favorite game to play on game night when we're all together is called Running Charades. I love it so much.
Right.
And then we play a game called the name game, where you put a bunch of names in a bowl and you pick them out. And I would say to you, she was married to Sonny Bono and she has won. Uh-huh. And I would say, she should have been president of the United States. And you would say
Hillary Clinton.
Yes, exactly. So,
Whoopi Goldberg.
Exactly. Whoopi Goldberg. But my game show, I love going on game shows. I went on them before I was a known person just to pay rent. And I paid rent for 3 years on game show money. As a known person, I would go on for charities. And 1 year I won $300,000 for charities on game shows.
On what show? Oh, that was throughout all the shows that year. Oh, my God.
All the shows that I did. I did a show called The Game Show Marathon. I did a show called Celebrity Poker Showdown. I did so many.
Yeah.
And look it, I love the charity part so much, but I equally love the game playing part so much. But the best crafted TV game show is the pyramid, is the $100,000 pyramid. Mm. Because it's very little luck. And it's not just being funny. It's like all gaming, like really good gamers. And I go on that anytime they ask me.
I'll watch those old reruns of like the Betty White on the game shows. I mean, it's some of the best TV. And talk about just healing. I mean, it's just so fun to watch those old shows.
The Buzz Network. Mm-hmm. The Buzz Network has those old shows. Yeah, okay. I love that.
Two more quick questions and I'll let you go. Who's been your favorite scene partner throughout the years?
Sally Field.
Who's been the funniest person you've ever worked with?
It's really interesting. Wow. Wow, that's so interesting. Funniest in the piece or funniest just as a person?
As the person.
Or the Tony person Hale.
Tony Hale. On Veep. Mm-hmm. Veep was so good.
Yeah.
Veep was so good.
He's hilarious.
Well, of course, this is just fresh in my head, but when I was watching Rat Race, I really loved John Cleese, and your scene partner in that, John Lovitz, makes me laugh and giggle.
Yeah.
And like,
We had some really, that was a really fun movie to do. It was long and we were away from home many months, but it was,
and it looked miserable. And isn't it like a lot of desert shooting? It seemed like
it's a lot of desert. Yeah. But that concert thing at the end where we got to jump into the audience, that was real. And that was fun. And dance, that was really fun.
Yeah. It's a good movie. It's like so silly. It's just so silly.
Well, it's based on It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, which I saw growing up. So, you know, I was very familiar to me. More questions.
Okay, King of the Hill reboot. Are you doing that? That's going to happen, right?
Now, that I could tell you, if that would happen, I would say yes right now, this moment. I say it to anybody who's watching. I'm hearing. That was 13 years of some of the best years of my life, because I had just had my daughter, Samia, and I was on another show called Veronica's Closet, which I also loved.
I watched every episode of that, Kathy and Jimmy with Kirstie Alley.
Kirstie Alley, and we had a blast on that. But King of the Hill, I loved for a couple of reasons. I loved it because I am a writing snob. Like, I don't care so much about other things, but I really care about the writing. And every Monday for 13 years, there would be a script at our door that was better than the next one. The writers were really collaborative, smart, hilarious. The cast was brilliant. And it was our family of fun. And I didn't have to travel away from my kid. It was 2 days a week. No hair, no makeup, no line memorizing, no 6 a.m. calls. It was the perfect job. I know it. So I would do that job. I'm telling Mike Judge, Greg Daniels, anybody.
It's going to happen. Here I am telling you. Yeah, what the fuck do I know? But I feel like it's happening. Because,
and what a great character they wrote. Peggy was one of the greatest. Oh, God, I loved it so much.
I just read this piece this morning about how the networks are looking for more animated stuff because, of course, we don't know how long all of this social distancing is going to be going on. And so I had read that they're investing in more projects. And that just seems like such a slam dunk. I mean, I think people love that show so much. So it's got to come back.
Come on. And I'm on a couple now. I'm on something called Duncanville on Fox. Mm-hmm. That my friend Amy Poehler and her two really, really great writing creators, that they're going to kill me because I don't remember. But so that's on the slot that King of the Hill used to be in, Duncanville. And it's so much fun. And then I'm on a Disney Junior show called The Rocketeer, which they rebooted and made The Rocketeer a girl. And the family is Lebanese.
Oh, I bet my niece and nephew probably watch that. They have Disney Junior on constantly at their house.
Yeah, it's fun.
And do you like doing that? Yeah. You like doing the animation stuff, right? It's fun to do the voice work?
More than anything.
Yeah.
More than anything. I don't like necessarily traveling in some city for 6 months and living in a hotel and all that. I'm just being honest now, but I sound like a very, very lucky, privileged complainer. But if I had my choice, I'd rather do voiceover.
Well, if I had my choice, Kathy, I'd have you in everything. Like, I know you might prefer the animated, but we need you on camera as well. So all right, never give that up.
You are my new manager.
Kathy, thank you so much. I can't wait to see you in Hocus Pocus 3 with Bette and Sarah Jessica.
I officially did not say that, for the record.
I know, but I'm saying that. It. If Disney's listening, I refuse to watch it unless you're in it. Thank you so much for taking the time. This felt healing in a weird way, and I know we've never met in person, but I just thank you. I thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. You are a great, great interviewer. That was I had a lovely time with you. I'm sure you have to edit this because we've been doing it for 3 hours.
No, I'm leaving it all. I'm truly leaving it. I'll edit out the part where you had me on mute, but otherwise...
Okay, good.
Otherwise, it's all going up. Thank you. Stay safe, stay healthy, and stay as sane as possible. And thank you.
You too. Thank you, Melody.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello
Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.